It's great to have you here today, and let's jump right into Acts chapter 19. Listen now to Acts 19, verses 1 through 10. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And Paul said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. They were in all about 12 men. And Paul entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, Paul withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. What an awesome passage. And I only have time today, here at the end of our week and our series on the power of God, to highlight 4 insights. Remember the reason that we are here. As I said on Wednesday, I am giving you some examples of the Holy Spirit's power in the lives of the apostles and disciples, as the Spirit empowered them to do what Christ commanded them to do. And that command of Christ is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen now to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to the apostles, and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And we have seen the Holy Spirit come upon them in Acts 2. And when the Spirit came upon them, he came in power. And then we have spent time on Wednesday and Thursday walking our way through the book of Acts and seeing the believers obey the command of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and now to the remotest part of the earth. And that is where the Apostle Paul is in Acts 19. He is in Ephesus. Ephesus is remote. It's not in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ has come a long, long way in a short period of time, all because of the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. God is power. And the first insight I have into Acts 19, these 10 verses, is this. The disciples that the Apostle Paul met here in Ephesus were not Christians in verse 1. They are not Christians. That's essential to know because as the story unfolds, we learn something important about the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we assume that these 12 men, as verse 7 tells us they are, they were in all about 12 men, if we assume they are already Christians, then what I have to say about the Holy Spirit will not make sense. But how do I know that they are not genuine Christians when Paul meets them in verse 1? I mean, the text there says that they are disciples. Yes, but that Greek term means learners or followers. And when it is used in the New Testament, it is not always used to speak of Christ's people. For example, a man could be a disciple of the Pharisees or a disciple of John the Baptist. Furthermore, Paul's initial question to them tells us that Paul was not sure if they had faith alone in Christ alone or not. Listen to verse 2. Paul said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, if they answer Paul, "Yes, we received the Holy Spirit when we believed," that then tells Paul that they are indeed Christians because, as I have been telling you, the Bible is clear that whenever anyone initiates faith in Christ, believes in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that person immediately receives all of the Holy Spirit. But listen to how these men at Ephesus answered. Verse 2. "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Aha! There is Paul's answer. they are not Christians. How could they be Christians if they have not received the Spirit? Every time someone believes in Christ, a Christian, that person receives the Holy Spirit. But these men cannot be Christians because they have never even heard of the Holy Spirit. That's my first insight for you today. And here's my second. These 12 men are disciples indeed, but they are disciples of John the Baptist, not Jesus. We see this clearly in Acts 19, verse 3, in part 2 of this little question and answer session between the Apostle Paul and these quote-unquote disciples. And Paul said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Okay, then, it's clear these guys are John's disciples. They are not Jesus' disciples, but John's disciples. Third, having established this, Paul then shares with them the truth. He tells them plainly and directly about Jesus. Listen to verse 4. Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." I love that. That is, in Jesus. So profound, yet so concise. The truth of the gospel can be said concisely. Well, when they hear about Jesus, listen to their joyful response. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Now they are Christians. Once they believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they are securely saved from their sin. It's very interesting that Paul does not give them direction on how to receive the Holy Spirit first. He begins by telling them to believe in Jesus. And of course he does, because until someone becomes a Christian, that person can never receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit only indwells believers, never unbelievers. Only Christians can have the power of God living in us. No unbeliever has access to the power of God within him or herself. That is impossible. And when we come down in the passage, we're moving quickly. That clock is staring at me and making ugly faces today. It's going tick-tock. When we come down in the passage to verse 6, I have my fourth insight. This is Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Here again is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have been with us, what does this remind you of? Yes, this immediately brings to mind what happened to the apostles and other believers in the upper room back in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 was Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Acts 19 is another mini Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit on these new believers in the Lord Jesus at the ancient city of Ephesus. And I have already told you what speaking with tongues means, and we will cover prophesying sometime in the future here on God Is. Should you want to know now, just email me and ask, what is the meaning of prophesying? And these are Gentile men in the remotest part of the earth at that time. The Holy Spirit has empowered the apostles, like Paul, and the disciples, like Philip in Acts 8, to be Christ's witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Wow. Nothing and no one can stop the power of Almighty God. And the same holds true for us today. As we speak, the gospel is being proclaimed in word and deed all across this world by faithful Christians like me and you. So will you be faithful today, brothers and sisters, to tell other people in your life who Jesus is and how he has radically transformed your life from sinner to saint because of his great sacrifice on the cross for your sins? Today, will you be a Christian who obeys Christ by fulfilling his command to tell everyone about him? I pray that you will. And remember, when you witness for Christ, you do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Spirit can do. I did read the first 10 verses of Acts 19, and I did so for context, but also so that you could hear this. Verse 10. All who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. This is an incredible ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us exactly what happened as the church was born and grew among, quote, all who lived in Asia. I believe this was the greatest ministry for the gospel ever, at least so far. And all of this came by the power of God. Psalm 21, verse 13, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Psalm 21, 13. Indeed, as we have seen in these weeks together, God is power. As we close, let me remind you of what's coming up here next week, and then I'll give you a benediction of sorts. Please be sure to be with me all next week and the week after as God is goes on the road to Hong Kong in southern China. Recently, I was in Hong Kong and sat down with a good friend of mine to discuss Christianity in mainland China. I'll be airing that interview beginning on Monday right here on God Is. We'll explore how God is moving by His Spirit in this nation, massive in size, both in terms of population and geographic reach. And we'll talk about what's happening with the church in China. I want to encourage you to invite friends and family to join you for these broadcasts. Maybe you have a Chinese friend or a Chinese family member. Invite them to come along, perhaps even someone who's not yet a Christian. This will be interesting to them. Who is God? He is Lord of all. And what is He doing outside our nation and outside of our communities? Well, come along with me and find out as we go to Hong Kong together beginning on Monday, right here on God Is. And let me now send you off into your weekend with this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is power.